This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It is time for The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Week 12, people. Happy American Thanksgiving weekend. We've got three games in the books, tons of storylines to go through, lots of impactful injuries to get you ready for the rest of your fantasy football weekend. We'll be giving away some Domino's pizza, Danger Zone, and taking your texts and questions at the top of the hour. Show, how you doing?
Good morning, Andy. Yeah, I'm doing really well. Hope everyone enjoyed the three Thanksgiving games. The Raiders-Cowboys game with the high score, right? The Bills annihilating the Saints off the face of the planet. So that must be having Bills Mafia feeling pretty well. I do want to ask you, though, Andy, do you have your snow tires on? Because here in Toronto, it is snowing like crazy. It's the first snowfall of the year. Yeah. So I'm glad I managed to be an adult for the first time in years and get the snow tires on before the first major snowfall of the year here in Toronto.
Nice. Yeah, I'm an hour east of the city. It is snowing here, too. We have the snow tires on the one vehicle, not on the second one. That is right. Scheduled for this week. So, you know, hopefully it's kind of a one and done today. Yeah. But, yeah, safe driving if you're in a snow-covered area.
Yeah, no kidding.
Show, it just makes me feel again that I should be living in a tropical environment doing the show, but, you know. Not to be.
It's, you know, it's funny. Like one of my cousins, he was my former roommate, and now he has his own place. Now that I live with the wife, of course, right? But he's from Toronto, but he like spent most of his life, like he and his family, like my aunt and uncle, they had moved to Orlando when they were like, I don't know, like eight, when he was eight or something, right? So he spent most of his life in Orlando. And then he had moved to New York, like to Manhattan. And I guess in Manhattan specifically, I guess it doesn't snow as much there as it does here. I don't know if it's just because of like where Toronto is situated versus like, you know, in like this in this like part near a lake and so on, as opposed to where the city of New York is in that state, right? Anyway, so I guess it doesn't snow as much there as it does here because he moved back to Toronto, and I think I've never seen a person who's actually from Canada have as much a problem with the snow as he did. But I guess, you know what, I guess if you grew up in Orlando and then spent time in New York, that you guess you wouldn't be encountering snow as much as you would here.
Oh, man, if I was him, I would go back. Go to the sun. Go to the sun. Although, you know, current state of the world, not being in Florida isn't necessarily the worst idea.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
Not the worst idea. We'll get to the injuries and all that in a moment. But let's talk about those three Thanksgiving Day games. And show, you know, I told you, I texted you, I put out on Twitter as well, at AndyMC81, at SNSOli, and at The Fantasy Show. I said, my American Thanksgiving tradition is I get myself a Domino's pizza, barbecue sauce base, get chicken, some green pepper on top, sit back, and watch the football. So I was all ready. And then they had that first game, which I guess if you have to have the Lions play at some point, could you not at least put a opponent that could blow them out or some sort of intrigue or interest? That was the worst, most boring, uneventful, neither team wanting to win game I've seen in ages. There was like, I think there was that one or two like nice Darnell Mooney catches, and that was it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. And then DeAndre Swift got injured. And he barely, if you started DeAndre Swift like I did in a couple of leagues, I'm in five fantasy leagues this year, okay, Annie, which probably is one too many, but I somehow managed to last week, I think, go up against Jonathan Taylor in four of the five leagues. And then in the fifth league, I'm facing Jonathan Taylor this week. So that's not an exciting prospect.
Show.
Yeah, RIP to that fantasy team for the rest of the season. But and that also one of those leagues, I did start DeAndre Swift this week, thinking to myself, oh, okay, you know what? The Bears, you know what? They lost Khalil Mack to injury. Maybe this might be a, it might be a lower point game for DeAndre Swift. But three carries for 0 yards. And three receptions for 9 yards. And that is the production DeAndre Swift churned out on Thanksgiving Day against the Bears. So I know you got injured, but still, I mean, that is a massive bummer because, like, there's not a single person on earth who benched Swift. Let's put it that way.
No, why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you? There was no point, and it's one of those unfortunate injuries. And that was it. You're right. That was it. And there was really nothing else to talk about in that game. Darnell Mooney continues to, no matter who's at quarterback, separate himself. I think maybe that's the takeaway for me. You know, even Cole Kmet was siphoned still by Jimmy Graham. Like, next year, for fantasy purposes, can we be done with Jimmy Graham? Enough! And I forgot they had Jesse James. He even caught a pass. I'm like, where the heck did this guy come from?
I know, right?
Where's my Cole Kmet?
I can't believe it. Yeah, Jesse James, Marquise Goodwin came back down to earth after a pretty productive, I guess, week 11, I guess it was. Yeah, week 11, because it's week 12 now. Yeah, Darnell Mooney was great. 5 catches, 123 yards. That was good. I was kind of watching that game like off and on. I was kind of doing stuff around the house because it was the first game, and it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't that exciting. I will say Cole Kmet, 8 catches for 65 yards. That's not terrible considering how we talk literally every week about how thin the tight end position is. Like if you're in a half point PPR league, 8 catches for 65 yards is double digit fantasy points, right? And I think that's not terrible, right? If you're in a full PPR league, that's even better, right? So Cole Kmet, like you said, he did get vultured from the Jimmy Graham touchdown. I think that was the first touchdown or I guess it was the only touchdown that Dalton threw that day. But still, it was the first receiving score, and you kind of thought to yourself, oh boy, here we go. And then he kept finding Cole Kmet throughout the game. So I think that it bodes well, because I guess it means that if Justin Fields, and I think they did say that even though he was out, whenever he gets healthy, he will be the starter again, right? So, and he also clearly has a connection with Cole Kmet. So I guess all I'm saying is, beyond Darnell Mooney, there is some signs of life from the Bears tight end situation right now. And I'm not too worried about Jimmy Graham, because after he got the touchdown, he only got one more pass the rest of the day, right?
He was tired. He's like, that's enough.
He wanted some turkey.
All right. Yeah, I think that's enough for me. Yeah, you know, you're right. And if you're the Bears 4-7, why wouldn't you play Justin Fields? You have a lame duck coach. Why wouldn't you keep going that way? So that game, not good. Not entertaining. You know, like I said, the Darnell Mooney stuff was cool, but that was it. Then the second game, really, I guess, the main course, right? This was the unappetizing starter dish, that Bears-Lions game, right? So it was like someone put out like the hard candy, but it's stuck together. You know, it's in someone's, you know, your grandmother's old jar, and you're like, oh, you put it out. It's something, but you don't want it.
Right.
You wanted the main course. Then they bring out the nice shiny turkey. We got Raiders, Cowboys, overtime, and the Raiders upset the Cowboys 36-33. And show it proves once again in this season that just when you think you have who the hot team is figured out, who the best club is, who's the favorite, they get beat. Because that was the Cowboys going into this one. It was like, oh, Dallas Raider run away, and then they get defeated.
I think I did sprinkle a couple of dollars on this one, on the Raiders at +7. I think I ended up getting them at +7 because it was like,
To cover.
Yeah, to cover, yeah. Because I think they were at some point, I forget, it was like maybe in the third quarter or something of Bears-Lions, maybe right before, maybe at a halftime even, that CeeDee Lamb had been ruled out, right, with a concussion. And we already knew Amari Cooper was out. And I mean, look, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Cowboys were going to lose. But I just, given that, like you said, given that this has been probably the most topsy-turvy, parody-filled year I can remember in like recent memory at the very least, I figured, you know what? Why not? Crazier things have happened this season. The Bills losing to the Jags was a crazier thing that happened just a couple of weeks ago, right? So, and then we even saw the way the Chiefs defense kind of gave the Cowboys trouble just last week, right? In week 11. So I was kind of, I admit I did not expect, it ended up being 69 points being scored in this game, but still that was phenomenal. Your boy Hunter Renfrow, Andy, 8 catches, 134 yards. My God. I got to say, Andy, I freely admit in our league, I benched him. I benched Hunter Renfrow this week. Yeah. I was afraid of what the Cowboys, how they're, their defense had been playing as of late. I was admittedly afraid of it. And then, of course, like we all know, that apparently matters so little that it may not have happened at all.
Hunter Renfrow is my MVP. Him and Cordarrelle Patterson, because Patterson got injured a little bit. So how many weeks have I been pounding the drum for Hunter Renfrow? Like, since week 2? You're welcome, everybody. I hope you listened. I started him in the one league I have Hunter Renfrow in, PPR. 23.3 juicy fantasy points. That's a good Thanksgiving drumstick right there, Show. That's a meaty piece.
Oh man,
that was delightful. Yes, Hunter Renfrow is legit, especially too since Darren Waller got banged up a little bit. Looks like at this point moving forward, it shouldn't be too serious, but something You talked about the tight end thinness. Good. You lose Darren Waller. How big is that dip then from Travis Kelce to the next guy, right?
Yeah, the island of Foster Moreau was barren, Andy. It was right. Barren. One catch for 3 yards from Foster Moreau.
Ooh,
you know, when Henry Ruggs deservedly got cut from the Raiders,
yeah. You
know, we talked about who would get those targets, right? And I think we did say that some of those would just end up being carries for Josh Jacobs when he's healthy. Probably more of them will just be, you know, passes thrown to Darren Waller. But we talked about there's a real chance that a whole bunch of them will just go to Hunter Renfrow. And when Darren Waller got injured, that's exactly what happened. It's like literally every target went to Hunter Renfrow. And I think the DeSean Jackson TD, that was just a long TD. That's like the DeSean Jackson special, even
that's
at this point in his career,
yeah.
Right? Like that's like you can't really do much about that. That's just it happens. I'm sure it happens for every team at some point this season. But yeah, Hunter Renfrow, 8 catches for that many yards. It's exciting because he clearly has the implicit trust of Derek Carr. That's not changing anytime soon.
No. And I know whenever one of these rare DeSean Jackson games happen, show the next week we get the question, should I play D-Jax?
Yeah, yeah.
No, but he had 100 yards. People, okay? This will happen like, I bet it doesn't happen the rest of the year. Maybe like one other time. He'll go like a quarter of the season with nothing. He's a nice. You go down the field, you air it out, it keeps the defense honest to a point. If he catches it, hooray. If he doesn't, which he probably won't, it's done.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's just something you just have to expect. Even like, not that I'm going to say play Zay Jones, but Zay Jones had 5 catches, you know, spread the ball around. But Hunter Renfrow, what a absolute stud. He had a carry as well. He had 34 return yards. What else do you want for the guy? Doing everything.
I'll say this on D-Jax. That's just like when it comes to D-Jax, like that's he. I feel like he's been doing that his entire career. Like he did it with more regularity. I think when he was like in his prime on the Eagles.
Younger,
like
yeah.
Yeah, remember the miracle of the Meadowlands too when he like returned the punt against the Giants for a touchdown.
Oh,
like with no time left on the clock, and you could see Tom Coughlin like screaming at the punter on the sidelines, like, why did you kick it to him, you jerk? Why did you kick it to him, right? And then the guys like looked like he wanted to cry, and I think he got cut the very next game. But
probably,
but yeah, I think like you said, DeSean, that's the kind of play that you see on like the end of your DFS lineup, and you're like, yeah, I won $1 million, we did it.
That's right, that's my guy. Well, on the Dallas side, show, I played Michael Gallup just with the Amari Cooper, and I anticipated, you know, just from either he wasn't going to play or if he wouldn't play much with CeeDee Lamb. And Gallup was logically the next guy up, 5 catches, 106 yards, but also Cedric Wilson, 7 catches, 104 yards.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, like, I think if we're looking at this for any sort of consistency, Cedric Wilson is only one of those guys who you play in this exact scenario, right, Joe? Where it's Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are not playing, and so then Cedric Wilson gets a chance. But Michael Gallup, I still feel, has a bit of an opportunity to... He's definitely going to be the third option, but maybe can hover around that flex territory depending on game script sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right? I think because this situation is probably going to change, probably, barring the health of CeeDee Lamb for week 13, it's probably going to change as soon as next week, right? Because Amari Cooper probably is going to play next week. And again, the CeeDee Lamb, it sounded like he was close to playing last week, like this past week in week 11 anyways. So yeah, I would imagine, that Gallup will immediately go back to being the third option. And the other thing, too, is, which like you said, probably completely erases Cedric Wilson beyond this 1 week fill-in. But the Dalton Schultz play, too, 3 catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown. The touchdown basically salvaged that day for Schultz, which is great because I put Dalton Schultz as, like, the top tight end start in my Thanksgiving start sit article for Sportsnet.ca. And I was out. I wasn't watching the entire game. I had to run out a little bit during this game. So I was on my phone. I was kind of just refreshing on my phone. I see, like, Dak Prescott to Dalton Schultz, touchdown. I was like, oh, thank God.
Sweet.
Thank God.
Get you in double digits.
Yeah.
That's all you need. You get to double digits, it's a good pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But I bet with Dalton Schultz, like, his value probably is not going to change all that much. It kind of has stayed the same, I would say, right? Even with all those guys out.
I think so. I think his role, and that's really what you need to see as a fantasy player. When there are some injuries, whose role changes, who stays the same? I'm more of a fan of consistency. Like, I would much rather it be like, okay, I know now that Dalton Schultz is going to be used in the same type of way, no matter what. So Do I want higher production? Yes, but at least now, show we can say, all right, no matter who's out, Dalton Schultz, the tight end, is going to be used in the offense in this type of way, which is in the 3 to 5 catch range and a good chance of a touchdown. So we now have that bar that we figure he can reach, which I think is at least good for stability, right? Yeah, you can at least say, okay, now I can plan around that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, and look, I mean, given the sheer volatility of any given tight end, again, who's at this point, and you have to include Darren Waller in this. So at this point, if any person whose name is not Travis Kelce, that, like, if you can get even just a shred of stability, I think you're laughing, man.
I think. And you got to hold on to that player for sure. Let's go to the final game, which, while that overtime one was great and tense and all that, the Bills game, whoo, wiped away those things. Josh Allen, not the prettiest statistical game, 4 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions. Sort of like a bit of a Jameis Winston type of feel, that one, wasn't it, Joe? Like, he might throw a touchdown, he also might throw it away. And that's kind of what we saw, but it didn't matter because the Bills won 31-6. So I want to point out this stat line again for Trevor Siemian.
Okay.
The average throw, it went down from when we were making fun of him last week, show. It went down. He was averaging 5.8 yards per completion. It somehow decreased to 5.6 yards per completion. Like, it's almost like you're leaning forward with the ball and just handing it to the guy, show. Like, it's like you're too far. Like, you're passing the gravy. It's like, oh, can you get up? Like, ah, I can do it. And you just kind of stretch a little bit more. That's how far Trevor Siemian is throwing the football. That's so gross.
Good. That's great. 163 yards passing on 17 completions. Gross. Can you guess, without looking, I'm sure you probably have the box score in front of you, but just real quick, without looking, can you guess who is the leading receiver in this game?
You know what? I do have the box score, and I already saw it.
Okay. Well, damn you.
You can tell the people if you want.
Well, okay. I guess people would assume it was like one of Deontay Harris, who we've talked about before, or Traquan Smith, or certainly Marquez Callaway. It was none of those guys. It was Lil Jordan Humphrey. Is not exactly a player who any of us have been rostering on our fantasy teams. I will say, I mean, like, this game was obviously impacted by the fact that there was no Alvin Kamara or Mark Ingram in this one, right? They were both ruled out. So they kind of had to make do with Tony Jones Jr. And I remember I got a question on Twitter again, while I was out and about, saying, once Ingram had ruled out, saying, hey, should I start Tony Jones? And I said, no, please, no, don't start Tony Jones. Because I also, of all the defensive units that you and I have talked about all season, if there's one to just not to start like an uncompletely unproven running back against, it's the Bills' defensive unit, right? Like, Jonathan Taylor. But I mean, and again, like, that was such a special circumstance because they were just getting railroaded and the game was over early, right? Whereas, like, in virtually every other game this entire year, the Bills' defense has been amazing against almost every single running back they've played.
No, it's true. Tony Jones Jr., show. Okay, the Bills' run defense revenge game against the world. 1.7 yards. Like, we make fun of Trevor Siemian. Like, show, that means he barely made it back to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. That means that offensive line was just being smashed to bits.
He was just falling forward.
If you get 1.7 yards,
you're just falling
forward.
You can't
do anything. Like, but show, even if you fall forward, you that's usually 2 yards. Just a normal human body falls forward. That's at least 2. You know, if you have any sort of push, none. 1.7. Ugh. Just disgusting.
Love it.
Just terrible.
I love it.
And Deontay Harris, 1 catch. Now on the Bills side, much better. Dawson Knox, who we all like and looks like, last week he really popped back. And the last 2 weeks, I guess, because he had that finger surgery, was slow coming back. Now he's back. Not a lot of volume, just 3 catches, but 2 of those were touchdowns. So that's what you want.
Well, I think the second touchdown, the first touchdown was great. The second touchdown, it looked like it was like a complete blown coverage, right? Like the guy, I don't know if the guy just like fell down or they just completely forgot about Dawson Knox or what. The guy caught it and there was nobody around him on the field. Like it looked like if the camera was slightly more zoomed in, it would have looked like he was standing on the football field by himself. Right. So it was kind of a funny sight. But yeah, that was pretty good to see. If you started Dawson Knox, 3 catches, 32 yards. and two Ooh. Touchdowns. And then, like you and I were texting about, Stephon Diggs with maybe one of the fancy footwork catches, touchdown catches of the year on none other than Marshawn Lattimore. That was great.
That was, like, that was one of the exciting matchups, right? Lattimore versus Diggs. Folks, I don't know if you saw it or not. I guess you could Google it. I'm not quite sure how you find it. But my goodness, the footwork. It looked like Stephon Diggs was auditioning or on, and I would have voted for him, on Dancing with the Stars. That footwork at the goal line was unreal. Like, show, when you see all the clips, it's like, oh, the guys are running through tires, or those quick little ladder things, like the quick little foot, you're like, ah, what does that do? That's what it does. It was absolutely, I've never got that excited about watching a route and footwork, because it was so clinical, diabolical, and ankle-breaking by Stephon Diggs. It was beautiful. I wish you guys could just see it in my mind's eye right now if you missed it. It was just amazing. He just completely just tap, 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 back, one, two, little shuffle step, tap, and then around and touchdown. Amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I think you can probably find it on like the Bills Twitter account if you have social media, because I'm sure they posted that, and I'm sure the NFL's Twitter account posted it as well. It was truly really great, and doubly great, I'm sure, if everyone started Stephon Diggs, especially after, like, Diggs has been great in the last couple of weeks, no doubt, but he had a slow start to the year, right? Like, the entire Bills offense, I think, was kind of stuck in first gear, it kind of felt like. But now they've been catching up a little bit. Even in some of the losses, he's been putting up decent points. So that's pretty great news for people who probably drafted Diggs in, like, you know, beginning of the second round, probably, I'd say.
Coming alive at the fantasy playoff push time of year. Now, what's really interesting, Bills with 7 wins, Patriots with 7 wins, and the Pats play today against the Tennessee Titans. We'll get to the full games as we go on, show. But this, I was looking forward to this game a couple weeks back because I thought, okay, this is really going to decide, I think, if the Patriots are for real. It was the Titans. You had the Bills after that. It was just a nice, like, little chunk to say, like, okay, let's test and see where these guys are at. People, I don't know if you've looked at the depth chart and injury report for the Tennessee Titans. Let me tell you this. Whatever the line is for the Patriots, take it. I think this is going to be a smash job by New England today. Show. A.J. Brown, IR. Julio Jones, injured reserve. My guy even, Marcus Johnson, injured reserve. The top receiver is Chester Rogers.
Oh, baby. Oh, help us. Yes, let's go. Woo! Actually, you know what? The Patriots are only favored by 7 points. It's a minus 7 for the Patriots
right
now.
I'd probably take that.
Probably right up to 10. I don't know. I know that the inside the lines guys will have more on this, I'm sure, about like buying points, but I would, you know, they have like alternate spreads. I'd probably take an alternate spread of up to 10 points with the Patriots. 9.5?
Me too. Like, no, I would take 10. Absolutely. The running back situation. We know Derrick Henry's gone. Adrian Peterson, Bootski, Jeremy McNichol's out. Donta Foreman and former Cleveland Brown, Dontrell Hilliard.
Yes, let's go, Andy. Hilliard, Woo! Hilliard time. Hilliard season.
Hilliard, absolutely. Tight end, Jeff Swaim, questionable. Michael Pruitt and the doctor, Anthony Firkser, has plummeted to third on the depth chart. There's nothing to work with here, Show.
Yeah, and on the other side of things, the Patriots are pretty healthy now. Like, I think Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, all expected to play. All the wide receivers are pretty healthy. The offensive line is as healthy as it has been in a couple of weeks, right? Trent Brown played pretty great last time out against the Falcons on Thursday night, and they had a couple extra days off, right? So, I mean, look, if there was ever a quote-unquote trap game between, you know, an 8-3 team and a 7-4 team, this is probably it. I don't know if you can necessarily consider it a trap game because the Titans technically have a better record than the Patriots do. But at the same time, if you could ever call one that, I would imagine it would be this game, because I am afraid somehow that the Titans will somehow win this game in Foxborough despite having no weapons. But I mean, you know what? We also saw what happened to the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday night. So, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath either way.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to some injury reports here from around the league. By the way, folks, as you know, if the Cleveland Browns win, so do you! Domino's Pizza giveaway at the top of the hour. We'll tell you what the question is for you to enter and how you can win some Domino's Pizza because the Browns They eked one out show against those dastardly Detroit Lions.
They barely, they just squeaked by for the win. I gotta know, Andy, before we get finished, wrap this up. Were you like clutching your chest, making sure your heart wasn't gonna leap out of your chest that they didn't lose to the winless, awful Detroit Lions?
I was like, man, yes. I don't know. I honestly don't know what I would have done. It just would have been so horrible, so terrible, so awful. So you know what? Let's get through some injuries here. We'll break. We'll do some over-under and then kick off the games. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so some notes real quick. Adam Schefter on ESPN. Just the wording of this. It makes me think, like, Schefty, you know, I know you try to pump people up a little bit, but, like, this guy has not been good in so long. He says, Rams and Packers were the two most appealing teams to Odell Beckham Jr. during the standout wide receivers, recent free agency, but Green Bay would not offer more than the veteran minimum because the Green Bay Packers, in some cases, in this case, are smart. Standout wide receiver. Show, can you tell me the last time Odell Beckham Jr. was a, quote, standout wide receiver? Not in this decade.
Yeah, 2017 maybe.
16. Yeah. Yes. Standout wide receiver. I just saw that now. That bugged me. Anyway, CeeDee Lamb, as you said, is expected to be back next week after the concussion. Elijah Mitchell of the 49ers, running back, listed as questionable due to rib and finger injuries. Now, he is expected to play, but Joe, apparently he still has the pin in his finger.
Okay.
Like, that sounds awful.
Yeah, that does not sound fun. But hey, I mean, if he is the one who Kyle Shanahan is going to give the bulk of the work to, then I guess you got to start him. I admit I'm afraid today of that Vikings 49ers game of like seeing everyone get like 7 to 8 carries and no one having a standout game. Kind of like the, you know what I mean? Like I know Elijah Mitchell has like actually been pretty good this year since Mostert went down, right? But at the same time, I don't know, like. If you have a better option to play over Mitchell, I would probably do it today. But, I mean, you know what? A lot of buys, a lot of injuries.
It's a little dicey.
A
lot of games already.
Yeah.
Right? The three games. Like, if you, you know, if you're waiting for Rostrum, if the ability to shift and pivot your fantasy lineup has limited because of the three games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have six teams off already. Marquise Brown of the Ravens listed as questionable, expected to play through a thigh injury against the Browns tonight on Sunday Night Football. Giants running back Saquon Barkley listed as questionable due to an ankle injury, but is expected to play versus the Eagles. Aaron Jones, true game time decision for the Packers as well. So those are just a few of the more notable injured starts and sits right there.
Yeah, and Jets placed Michael Carter on injured reserve. So he's done for three games. So he probably will come back. If you have him and you're in a playoff spot, I mean, I think you're in a good spot because he'll probably come back and be pretty good for you in the fantasy playoffs. Because I believe in most leagues, they start in either week 14 or week 15. So we're pretty close to the playoffs, right? The game has become more important. But when it comes to this week, we'll get to it in a couple minutes here, Andy. But I do like Ty Johnson this week. I got to admit, in a spot start, I like Ty Johnson.
He has not the last couple weeks, but there was a 4-week stretch where he was double digit and into the mid to high teens fantasy points in PPR. So good point there. We will step aside, come back with a little over under and take you through each and every game. Fantasy football starts and sits. Give away some Domino's pizza and answer your questions when the fantasy show continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are back and rolling on the Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Folks, if it's snowy where you are, just get some pizza delivered. Football, a lot of games today. Just go to Domino's.ca, check out your deal. Maybe you're a little hungry. Maybe you want unlimited two-topping large pizzas for just $10.99 each. Or whatever other deals you can get right there at Domino's.ca. That's Domino's.ca. Give us a follow on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. We will be giving away some Domino's pizza because of the Browns' epic victory over those crafty Detroit Lions.
Epic. Well.
Whew. Because, as we know, when the Browns win, so do you. And boy, the way Baker's been playing, I don't know how many more of these will be given away, to be honest with you, this year. So
look,
advantage of what we can.
I'm just going to say, Andy, when we started doing this, you were like, oh, we're going to be giving away a lot of pizza this year. And I said we wouldn't be giving away too much pizza.
Six is good.
Look who was right, Andy.
We're going to be giving away at least six. That's a good amount.
I guess that's fair. You know what? Fair. Right. I will say I'm not sure how much pizza we'll be giving away next week after Browns play the Ravens. I had to admit.
Well, that is true. I'm not bullish on that game, but we will get to that one in a little bit because it is the Sunday nighter. So let's begin with our first game, which is going to be Falcons at Jaguars.
Okay.
If I was going to do the voice, yeah, guy, Falcons.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
We do have those this week, I think. Right?
We do.
Okay, there you go. See? All right. Falcons at Jaguars. This one, again, this isn't great, show. This isn't great. The Falcons are absolutely broken. Absolutely broken. I'm amazed they have four wins.
Yeah, right.
Matt Ryan is in the toilet. It is just, like, they just need to blow this thing up. I don't know how fully, like, I blame Matt Ryan himself, but it's just the whole situation is broken. You just have to blow it up. It's done, right? It's over. My guy, Cordarrelle Patterson, it's one of those, the phrase that you hate as a fantasy football manager, show, true game time decision. Which means, folks, that they're going to actually see how he looks on the field before the game practicing to determine. Not, he'll probably go. They have to go. And when you see that, that always screams to me, stay clear. Because even if they do play, we know it's just either limited snap count or one tweak away, and it's and you're done. And for Cordarrelle Patterson, it's an ankle. So that's one of the ones, you know, if it was like an elbow, so, you know what I mean? Something like that maybe, but an ankle? I don't like it.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair, right? I think if he plays, again, because of the situation we find ourselves in week 12 here, right, with the three Thanksgiving games, six teams already playing, and two other teams on bye, so eight teams already, like, you know, out of the equation going mm-hmm. into the first game of today. I think that does mean I'm sure some people have other options, but if you can play or if you have to play him, I think you can, I suppose. But I would just like temper expectations because you know what, the Jaguars defense has actually been not too bad, right? Like, it's been a little stingy here and there.
Yeah.
It's been limiting. The Falcons will probably win this game, probably. But at the same time, they're also quite a bad team, right? So I really do think that, like, you, if he plays, Patterson's probably, like, a lower-end RB2 today just because of the injury. If he was completely healthy, I wouldn't, you know, no one would have any issue firing him up and, you know, expecting the full complement of touches. Like, he averages 15 touches a game from weeks 5 through 9, and he was RB20 amongst all running backs with two or more games played, right? So, I mean, like, that's the kind of production you loved getting off the waiver wire, right? Which I'm sure was where most people got Patterson, like you and I did, right? So, I think, again, you can probably play him today in a pinch, but like you said, I would steer clear. Outside of that, that's kind of it, right? I mean, I would, you probably would start Kyle Pitts, but even then,
yeah.
I would expect lower things from virtually everyone on this entire Atlanta offense.
This one is screaming to me like another 9-6 game, which was a shocker when it came against the Buffalo Bills. Would not be a shocker if it came against in this Falcons and Jaguars game. It's just too, you mentioned it, the secondary, the pass protection or the pass coverage for Jacksonville has quietly improved. So they're not the pushover, which makes them a tough fantasy play because they're not going to get you a lot of points, but they're not necessarily going to give up a lot of points.
Yeah,
you're
kind
of stuck right in that weird type of situation. One notable, James Robinson is fully cleared to go again. And we were kind of monitoring him a little bit to see how those injuries would pile up. But last 2 weeks, he's looked good. Clear this week, consecutive. That is a must play. I think you put him right at the top of an RB2 situation.
Yeah, I think so too, right? I think he, just because of the you know, stuck offense that is the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence having some trouble moving the ball, I would say sometimes, right? Just because of that is why I would be hesitant to put James Robinson as a true RB1. But, I mean, he does get the majority of carries, right? Like, he has more or less overtaken Carlos Hyde and all these other guys as well, right? So even when I know the entire team is banged up to a certain degree, but even when they're all healthy, he has been kind of taking the reins there a little bit. But still, I do agree with you. Yeah, RB2 status for James Robinson. I'd probably say, like, WR3 category for Marvin Jones, because our guy Jamal Agnew, the guy we've talked a little bit about, is on injured reserve now. He's I forget if it was for three games or if he was done for the season, but either way, he's not playing today. So Marvin Jones, again, like, you expect less from Jones, just because they use Marvin Jones as the guy who catches the long ball in this offense, right? So when Trevor Lawrence is having trouble getting the ball downfield, as he has a lot this year, then Marvin Jones is the guy who easily suffers the most, because he has been open a lot this year and just has been missed on completely uncatchable balls, like down the sideline or down the middle of the field. Like, there are times where if he had caught just one of those passes, he would be a top 10 wide receiver in a multiple weeks. But because of the just general struggles of Trevor Lawrence, he hasn't been, and it's been, like, really, like, crappy fantasy outputs, right? So, again, WR3 for me for Marvin Jones, and, you know, Dan Arnold fell off the map last week after seeing zero targets from Trevor Lawrence. Oh. So the 49ers clearly went out there and just blanketed him, right? So I'm not giving up on Dan Arnold, but maybe just, you know, again, temper expectations for this entire game, I would say.
Yeah, Marvin Jones, since the bye, four straight weeks, single-digit fantasy point numbers, the volume is still there, and that's why you play an Atlanta team that's given up the eighth most fantasy points to wide receivers this year. Yeah. I think there is a chance. I like that WR3 rating. And, two, since the Falcons are so bad in just about every aspect of the game, I would feel comfortable putting Dan Arnold as a tight end one this week after that.
Okay.
I would. Right. I think he's right there if you need help. I would feel... before that last San Francisco game where the 49ers defense is just so, can be so good. They are getting healthier. Before that, the targets for Darnold, 10, 7, and 8. Like, that's sweet production. And you have Agnew on the IR. I think this could be a nice game for Dan Arnold there. So
you just called, right. I like that you called him Darnold, which, you know what?
Did I say Darnold?
Oh, but you know what? That is kind of his name. Dan Arnold. Darnold.
Yeah, you can say it all together. Yeah. Darnold. You could.
And just confuse everyone, right?
D Arnold. D period Arnold.
I like it.
Hey, Dan Arnold. Absolutely. I think he's a great player. He's still only rostered in 37% of Yahoo League show.
Yeah.
Gee, you know what? I might get him as a backup myself.
You know what? He is available in our league. I had to drop him because Kareem Hunt came off the IR, so I had to drop somebody.
Oh, baby.
But there he is available. He's sitting there for you, Andy.
There's a play for you tonight, okay. Kareem Hunt. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's enough of Falcons... Jaguars. Yeesh. Oh, boy. Well, let's get to the next one here.
Jets at Texans.
Bleh. Two stinkers off the top. Jets, Texans. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you this, show. I put it. It felt dirty to do. But in my waiver wire article every Tuesday on sportsnet.ca, I said if you had Pat Mahomes or Kyler Murray or a Thanksgiving game, or you're looking to stream a quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. Get him in. I'm telling you, 6% ownership, Tyrod Taylor versus the Jets makes a lot of sense today. I'm not saying you want to do it. I'm not saying you're going to feel good about doing it. But if you need help, let's say I would much rather Tyrod Taylor over Matt Ryan, Trevor Lawrence, that sounds weird to say, Zach Wilson. I would rather Tyrod Taylor because of his legs.
Matt Ryan? We just talked about Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I would take him way over Matt Ryan. And, it's a case where he can use his legs, he can run him in, he could get hurt at any moment, because that's what he does. But in the one game he played, fully healthy, at the beginning of the year against at that point, even worse Jacksonville defense, the guy got almost 24 fantasy points. Like, show, I think it's a great play, contrarian play for DraftKings as well. You can get him cheap. Tyrod Taylor, quarterback streamer option today. Let's go.
Yeah, the Texans might very well be on a winning streak after this game, right? Oh. They upset the Titans last week in another wild upset, and that is the 2021 NFL season. But I agree. Yeah, I mean, he had two touchdowns on the ground last week. And again, you're not going to necessarily bank on that this week, but at the same time, I think I don't hate the Tyrod Taylor play, especially like in super flex or two QB leagues, right? I definitely like that. And then I mean, outside of Tyrod Taylor, are we good in just saying that the only other fantasy relevant player on this entire team this week is probably still just Brandon Cooks and nobody else?
Correct. Correct, sir. The Houston Texans are a short conversation in 2021.
They are. Yep.
They're always a short conversation. You're right. You're right. And then you get to the Jets.
Another short conversation.
baby shoulder Zach Wilson. He back.
Probably not because they really want to have him play, but because the Jets traded for Joe Flacco, who apparently was unvaccinated, tested positive for COVID, and then got Mike White too, who is a close contact. So I guess by dint of being injured and I guess not being around those guys, Zach Wilson was managed to escape COVID for this 1 week and will be the starting quarterback. So more great classic stuff Flacco going on down in New York. Good God.
Classic Flacco, of course, comes in, ruins, looks okay, and then, of course, ruins things in the end. Flacco, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, legend.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And we talked about a little bit earlier, Michael Carter on the IR. I actually am really liking that Ty Johnson play today, show, especially in PPR, because he has proven over a pretty good chunk. If you're talking four straight games, now not the last two, but the previous four straight in the NFL, and you're giving me double-digit fantasy points, and two out of those were mid to high teens fantasy points, I'm liking that, and especially with Michael Carter out, like, where else are we going to go? Tevin Coleman? That doesn't excite me. I think Ty Johnson has a good chance today.
I think so, too. Yeah, I really think so, too. Especially, like you said, in half or full PPR leagues. I think Ty Johnson is the play out of the Jets today. I know Elijah Moore has been fantastic, and I think he probably will continue, right? The only thing I'm waiting to see is what his rapport with Zach Wilson specifically is, right? Because he has been pretty great with Mike White. He's been fantastic with Joe Flacco. I think in the games he's played with Zach Wilson, it hasn't been that great. You know what I mean? So I'm just waiting to see. But hey, if you have Elijah Moore, I mean, it's hard not to start him because he has been so phenomenal for, what, like two or three straight weeks, essentially.
Well, really, so since the bye week, Elijah Moore has just gotten better. Target share, 6-6, 8-6, 11. Fantasy points, all double digits, and two in the high 20s, another two in the mid-teens. I'm with you. The Zach Wilson being in there makes me nervous. Funny enough, I would have been more comfortable with Joe Flacco. Yeah. Or self-proclaimed first overall pick, Mike White. you know, but I think that the volume should still be there. Listen, you can never fully count on the Jets, of course. And they are playing the Texans, whose defense is always, what do we always say about the Texans, show? The defense is serviceable. Like, they're a professional team. They're a lunch bucket team. They'll go. You know they're not going to beat you, but you're going to have to work for it. Through three quarters, it's not going to be easy, and then they get tired.
Yeah, exactly. They're not too many guys you're playing from the Jets offense, but yeah, like Elijah Moore, Ty Johnson is probably it. And Corey Davis is probably it. Stop trying to, you know, like in Mean Girls when they say stop trying to make Fetch happen, stop trying to make Corey Davis happen, New York. It's not happening.
Yes, stop making Corey Davis and Odell Beckham Jr. happen. And Corey Davis, by the way, is doubtful. Groin.
Okay, well, there you go. Why? What are you bringing up Odell Beckham Jr. for? What do you got to pick
up? That Schefter tweet bugged me. Standout wide receiver. What? Hey, show, you want to be a standout wide receiver too? Congratulations. Good Lord.
That'd be nice.
Standout wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. Get out of here. All right, let's move on.
I hope he catches a touchdown today.
I hope he does.
Panthers at Dolphins.
I hope he does not. I hope he catches nothing. Nothing. Panthers at Dolphins. This is a case where the quarterback situation, fantasy-wise, really intrigues me, Show, because you have two guys here in Cam Newton and Tua who you can point to a way where it's like, boy, they could have a really good fantasy day, but you also would not be surprised if both of them, one or the other, or both, laid an egg. Like, it's very interesting, their fantasy play. But I do like the matchup for both of them.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, they're both probably... Maybe I would put Cam as like, man, you know what? They're both probably lower end QB ones, I would say, right? I was trying to decide.
For the Sunday slate.
Yeah, for the Sunday slate. I was trying to decide if I wanted to say one of them was a QB2. And if I guess one of them has a chance to be QB2, it's probably Tua, just because the Carolina defense is probably a little better than the Miami defense. But then again, you know, Cam Newton still, you know, the throws have looked better. I'll say that much, right? They have looked better. He found Christian McCaffrey kind of like up the seam, it looked like, for that touchdown he kind of walked into the end zone for. He hasn't looked terrible by any means, but again, like we talked about last week, his fantasy value is largely buoyed by the fact that he runs the ball a lot, right?
That's it.
And so, I think he's still a decent start today against the Dolphins defense. And I know some people might think to themselves, well, look what they did to another running quarterback in Lamar Jackson. I mean, of course, the difference between Lamar in that particular game and this game is that I think most of Cam's weapons are entirely healthy, right? I mean, if you have someone like Christian McCaffrey, that alters how teams will cover your your running backs and the rest of your wide receivers too, right? So I do like Cam Newton. Obviously, you start Christian McCaffrey. We're actually getting a lot of questions on the text line, Andy. I'm just looking over them, and people can text us at 590-590. We're going to do your text questions in about 10 minutes. But DJ Moore, a lot of DJ Moore questions. People are wondering if you should start him or not. Where are you at on DJ Moore this week?
Look, I feel I got to see it. Matt Rhule, head coach of the Panthers, said that the arm strength of Cam Newton is not an issue, and the reason he hasn't been pushing the ball downfield in the sort of 1.5 games he's been playing is by design. He said that is by offensive design. So do we believe him? Do we not? Last week, did get the touchdown. I wouldn't want to rely on it. Like, if I had the choice, I would not play DJ Moore. Personally, I have DJ Moore on one of my teams. I'm not going to play DJ Moore myself.
Right.
But I think if you put him in a WR3 or flex spot, like there's a way. But again, Cam's strength is on the legs. Does he look for Robbie Anderson more? Is it just dump offs to Christian McCaffrey? I think the best two plays on this team are Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton. And what's interesting to me as well, show, is for this to begin either the push to get into your fantasy playoffs or finish strong is the schedule of Carolina. Because as we know, the more Cam plays, the more it's likely, very likely in recent history, we've seen he gets worn down. Well, you got Miami today, then you have your bye, then you got Atlanta in week 14. That's a nice, he gets a break, he gets a weak opponent, then you get the Buffalo Bills, probably sitting Cam for that one. But in those, in that stretch show, I could see a way where Cam Newton kind of gets refreshed, comes back, and could actually be a decent fantasy play for the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like you said, you'll have to sit him on the bench on the bye week. But, yeah, playing him against Atlanta, I think, will be very nice for sure, right? Insert Borat voice, right? Very nice.
Very nice. Yeah.
I was going to do it, then I was like, I'm not sure. I'm not very good
at
it.
Go for it.
Yeah, you're much better at it than I am. Yeah, I think on the Dolphins side of things, hey, your boy Myles Gaskin, I started him last week, and he paid off for me, Andy. Unfortunately, I played Jonathan Taylor in that league, so it didn't matter. So, it felt good to be right about playing Myles Gaskin, right? I would probably say he gets downgraded to maybe a very, very low end RB2 against the Carolina defense. As usual, in most weeks, the conversation about the Miami pass catchers revolve around Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki. And those are the guys you can start. You know, Gesicki, again, probably a lower end tight end one. Waddle, maybe like a WR3 or a flex play, depending on how the rest of your roster looks, right? But I mean, like, it's the usual suspects when it comes to Miami, and no one else is really, like, you're not starting, like, you know, Isaiah Ford or any of those other guys. Yeah, don't just start the usual suspects, and that's kind of it.
Because the rest of those guys, show, are sort of, I feel, in the DeSean Jackson conversation, where they could catch a long one, you're like, oh, yeah. Man. It's like, well, you're not going to predict
Mac Hollins. Yeah, like, come on.
No. Like, Jalen Waddle, for me, I'd put him as maybe even a back-end WR2 this week.
All right.
Just based on the production with Tua, we know he's his boy. Like, the target share, show, ridiculous. 12, 10, 6, 9, 13 2 weeks before that. Like, he is getting all the footballs. It's him and Gesicki and then a bit of Gaskin. So, the Carolina defense is good. Gaskin. It's good, but you know, I think just based on pure volume, standard, I might want to stay away. But PPR, when he's just based on touches, I think Jalen Waddle's a pretty good play.
Look, I benched, you remember I told you earlier how I benched Hunter Renfro? I benched him for Jalen Waddle, so I'm really hoping he comes through this week. I need him to come through to make the decision not look just like the worst decision of the year.
Right. All right, let's hit one more before the break here.
Eagles at Giants.
All right, hey. Don't look now. My guy, Jalen Hurts, all year been telling, and he had a little blip partway through the year. But, show, he is turning into, I think, a better, or evolving into a better real-life quarterback with decisions, you know, easing his way in. I'm not saying he's polished. I'm not saying he's perfect. Mm-hmm. But he's easing his way in, and you could see how he could be the answer at quarterback for the Eagles going forward. Still some work to do, but his next two games, juicy. The Giants and the Jets. Woo!
Let's yeah, look, go! Andy, since week 8, Jalen Hurts has been the overall QB4, and the only quarterbacks he has been trailing are Justin Herbert, Josh Allen. Can you guess, just out of curiosity, can you guess who the third quarterback is? So like, he's been the QB4 since week 8, trailing only Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and this guy. Who is this? Who is the next guy? Who's the only other guy above him since week 8?
Derek Carr.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
What?
The only other guy up there with Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. Which, I mean, you know what? I think speaks to how much he has not been turning the ball over for Jimmy G, but Jalen Hurts has been, like you said, he's been great. This team has basically turned into a running team, right? The Eagles. They've just been run the ball and then run it some more, essentially, right? Miles Sanders got the ball a whole ton in his first game back last week. It wasn't a great fantasy stat line, but I mean, he still got the ball enough to make the other guys like Boston Scott and Jordan Howard, like, relatively speaking, not playable from a fantasy perspective, right? So I think you're definitely playing Hurts unless your guys like Patrick Mahomes or a Dak Prescott, or you already played someone like that, right? Miles Sanders, I probably would say like mid-tier RB2. I'm staying away from all the other guys like Gainwell, Scott, and Howard. And the only wide receiver, that's right, Howard is out. And then the only really pass catcher I can feel comfortable starting, I guess Goddard as well. I was going to say Devonta Smith, but I guess Goddard as well, just because, again, of how thin the tight end group is. But that's kind of it, right?
Yeah. Goddard, definitely serviceable as a lower-end TE1. I feel like we say lower-end TE1, but eventually, if you have enough lower-end guys, they become middle TE1.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because there's only so much room at the bottom, they become in the middle. Which, again, still doesn't mean that you're having a good fantasy day. But Devonta Smith, he just keeps being his go-to. If they're throwing the ball, it's going to one of those two guys. That's it. It's going to one of those two guys. And you're bang on with the running situation. The trouble is, that split. Gainwell is activated again, and they don't like using him. But you got Scott Sanders, Hurts himself. So if it's possible, I'm personally staying away from the running backs of the Eagles altogether. But I do want Hurts, Smith, and Goddard. Those are the three guys I'm looking at.
Yeah, you know what? I take back what I said about Goddard. I think, not that I think he's bad by any means, because you and I have, I think he might be the tight end outside of Kelce you and I specifically talk about the most on this show.
But
I do think, like, even when the yardage is not there, Goddard gets enough targets on a week-to-week basis that, like, and this might change next year if Hurts is not the quarterback in Philadelphia, but if he is, I mean, Goddard is, now that no more Zach Ertz, I mean, he is like you lock and load him in there at the tight end spot. Even if you finish with, like, 5 points, he gets enough targets on a week-to-week basis that, like, it'll come. You know what I mean? Like, it might just be game script or game flow or so on, but I think, like, you can feel pretty good about getting Goddard in there any given day. Just before we break, the Giants, certainly, we got to get to. And I'll say this. The only guy I'm going to start from the Giants offense today is Saquon Barkley, and even him, he's like an RB2, maybe like a low-end RB2, just because, you know what, like, I want to see what this new Freddie Kitchens offense looks like.
Oh, baby.
Your guy, Freddie Kitchens, right? No more Jason Garrett, the clapper. He's been canned in New York. So,
terrible play call.
Yeah, it might be good overall for the New York offense, but I just, when it comes to pass catchers, I wanted to see what it looks like before I start anyone. Saquon Barkley is like the only real guy I feel like you can count on, just because you know they're going to have to run the ball if they want Daniel Jones to stay, like, have any semblance of value there.
Well, yeah, and you got to track the ankle issue. Looks again like he is going to play, you want to keep an eye. The wide receivers, folks, you can't trust really any of them right now, ultimately because of that new play calling situation, which, you know, Freddie Kitchen as a head coach his 1 year with the Browns was horrible, horrifying, really. But in his half year as offensive coordinator, when he had to report to somebody, was actually very creative and very good. So the question is, how much does the conservative Joe Judge let Freddie Kitchens loose? At this point, I would think you have nothing to lose. There's rumors your GM, Dave Gettleman, who should have been fired 5 years ago, is going to be canned. He's out of touch with the league. It could free up guys. Sterling Shepard isn't going to be in there. But, until we see how this offense operates, you can't predict. You're guessing if it's Tony. You're guessing if it's Galladay. right? And so that's why I'm with you. If I'm going to play one person of the Giants, it's just Barkley.
Yeah, it's really just Barkley. And it also, unfortunately, with his return, because he played, I would say, the most of the game last week. It would essentially make, unfortunately, as good as he was, it would make Devontae Booker probably droppable for now. If something changes with the health, maybe you keep him on your roster if you can afford to. If you have shorter benches, you might have to drop him, right? You know, some leagues have small benches, but if you can afford to keep him, by all means, keep him, because Barkley could get injured again, and you know we all know how that song goes, right? But for now, it's pretty much just Saquon Barkley this week for me.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take the break. When we come back, we'll tell you how you can win some Domino's pizza and answer your fantasy football questions on the People's text line, 590-590, name and location, or on Twitter, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Hour two starts after this. We are delivered by Domino's, and you are listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of The Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Shaw Ali. Get us on Twitter, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. And folks, it's the end of 50% off week at Domino's today. I can't believe I didn't mention it off the top show. That means, folks, you go domino's.ca, you get half off any regular price menu pizza at domino's.ca up until tonight. There's your Sunday for you, people. There's your Sunday for you right there.
Laying it out, your lunch, laying your dinner, it out for us the whole day, Andy. There you go.
That's it. 50% off for the rest of the day at domino's.ca. All right, Joe. I think it's time to get to some questions, right? We're gonna hit up the people.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
You said hit up the people. I'm not gonna hit anyone. Don't worry.
It's what the cool kids say, Joe. It's lingo, slang. Hello, fellow children.
Yeah. Have you ever
seen fellow kids?
People. Yeah. How do you do, fellow kids? With Steve Buscemi holding the skateboard over his shoulder. That's what. That's
with
you. That's you every. That's you every day.
That's so me with. I love that episode of 30 Rock so much. That how do you do, fellow kids?
Steve Buscemi actually went as that this year for Halloween, like in real life. That's what that was his Halloween costume. He
did
went as
really?
the how you do fellow kids guy.
That is such like a cult hero moment, and he is so underrated. His role on 30 Rock, his on again off again character. I love it. What a gift. He is the creepiest looking dude out there. But what an actor.
Apparently, you know what? Apparently one of the nicest guys out there, because I read this great profile on, I think it was GQ, and seemed like the nicest actor in the world. But anyways, if Steve Buscemi, if you're listening, you can always come on the show.
More Buscemi.
Yeah, we would love
and I loved him on Sopranos.
Oh yeah, was he in the Sopranos? Oh yeah, I guess that's right.
He was cousin Tony.
Yeah, that's right. His friend out of jail, or cousin out of jail, or what have you. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, then he had to shoot him with the rifle. Spoiler alert.
Oh my gosh! I guess the show has been over since 2007, so I think we're good.
It has been. If you haven't seen the Sopranos, that's on you by now.
On you. Santos just said he just started watching it, so I think you just spoiled it. I think you just spoiled it for Santos.
It's 2021. You should have watched it by now. There's still lots. It doesn't matter. It doesn't spoil anything. Don't worry about it.
All right, let's move on. Text line time. 590-590. You can get your text line questions into us right now. If we don't answer them on the air, as always, Andy and I will reply to you before kickoff. So you can basically text us at any point. I do check a couple times before kickoff, but we will do them all right after the show in about an hour's time. But we'll do a bunch live right now. Tony from Hamilton. He says, I'm in a 12-man league, half PPR. Curtis Samuel and Christian Kirk are available on the waiver wire. Which of the two, Samuel and Kirk, should I pick, and who should I drop? Murray, Madison, Jeff Wilson Jr., and Golladay are on the bench. Also, Tony says, this is the greatest show on air. So, you know what, Tony?
Wow.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
It will. We will read your questions. Yes. If you compliment us, yes, we will do it 110%. Now, if you're looking long-term for the rest of the season, I love me some Christian Kirk. You know, I've been pounding that drum all season long. He is on the bye this week, though, just to make sure that you're not making this decision for this week. Season long, I think Christian Kirk for sure, especially since Kyler Murray should be coming back. He has been a favorite target of his, whether or not DeAndre Hopkins is in the lineup or not. Nice, steady guy you can put as a WR3, sometimes low in WR2 or flex. So I like Kirk. And who are the droppable options, show?
Oh, boy. It was, let's see. It was Latavius Murray, Alexander Mattison, Jeff Wilson Jr., or Kenny Golladay.
I think you do one of the handcuffs, right? Like, I'd keep Wilson Jr. Maybe not Murray. I'd say Mattison. You know, there's always the risk, right, that Cook goes down and there's your handcuff. But I think out of the bunch, Mattison or Golladay would be the pick for me.
Okay, that's, you know what, that's fair. I'd probably say Golladay, and again, yeah, there's a real chance that he becomes more valuable. But again, I don't know, that signing in New York looks like a big bust, and it looks like New York, like you said earlier, probably going to be resetting things relatively soon, yeah, right? So I'm not a huge fan of Golladay this year. Ben from Thornhill, he says, good morning, Ben. PPR, two quick questions: Westbrook, Ekine, or Jamison Crowder for the first one. So Westbrook, Ekine in Tennessee, or Jamison Crowder with New York.
I would honestly try to avoid both. Crowder is interesting. It's sort of that balance, though. Is it Crowder? Is it Elijah Moore? Now, both worked last week. Mm-hmm. Crowder had a touchdown, but it seems really like Moore has overtaken him. But each are getting a decent target share. I think against the Texans this week, I would err on the side of Crowder, just because, like, show in Tennessee, like, what do we, Chester Rogers, like, it's honestly a guess. I hate guessing. It's a guess. It could be him. And it very, very likely could not be him as well. I think Crowder out of that. Both options are not good, but Crowder is the better play to me.
And Ben also wanted to know, Melvin Gordon or Antonio Gibson? I think you go Gibson, right? He's been phenomenal. It's funny, the shin fracture and everything, I'd probably go Gibson.
Yeah, especially with McKissick, he's a little banged up as well. Seattle's just seems sort of broken, and they've given up the second most fantasy points to running back. So I think Gibson for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, so we'll go Crowder and we'll go Gibson. I'll see one here. There's no name on this one, so don't forget to give us your name just so we can give you a shout out. But this person wants to know, morning guys, Higbee or Gronkowski today?
Higbee or Gronkowski? I think you go Gronk, yeah, right? Like, if he's healthy, I don't think there's any injury. No, he's, let me double check. His back, he was removed from the injury report. Ooh. So even more so. If Gronk's in there, you play him. His back is good for now. This is why they rest him for so long, folks. He is ready for the stretch drive. I think he owed Gronkowski.
Well, that was the whole thing with Gronk, too, right? One of the reasons he felt like he needed to retire was just because he felt like he was pushing himself too often and too early to come back from injury, right? Because he felt like he needed to prove something or something like that. And so he decided in his next go-around with Tampa Bay, he wasn't going to do that. And the coaching staff and the medical staff in Tampa Bay doing that, too. So, hey, I mean, when he came back, he clearly still has the trust of Tom Brady. Tom Brady looking for him early and often, even with guys like Godwin and Evans on the field, mm-hmm, right? So with no Antonio Brown, yeah, I think I'm, because he's still out, I'm still going with Gronk as well. I see one here from Eddie in Angus. What's up, boys? Another week down. Big Sunday between a majority of the good teams today. Let's get it. Two questions. Standard scoring, need a flex. Antonio Gibson, Hunt, Kareem Hunt, or Jerry Jeudy?
Hunt I love in PPR. He just won't get the yardage for you, mm-hmm, as far as the... I think he's going to get a lot of work today, but he's not... He just traditionally has not gotten the yardage to be that effective in standard formats. Oh boy, Jerry, like, I want Jerry Jeudy to be the guy. Show, I have him on one of my teams. I want to play Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, same.
I just can't feel comfortable playing Jerry Jeudy. I think you go Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if you were right, I think if you were, if this is a full or half PPR league, I'd probably go Kareem Hunt. But yeah, I think Antonio Gibson is the play, I think, in standard. And then Eddie also wants to know, PPR league, Elijah Moore or Javonte Williams?
Oh, Elijah Moore. Javonte, until they hand things more over from Melvin Gordon to Javonte Williams, you kind of got to stay away from. Like, he's in that weird spot where you don't want to drop him, but you also don't want to play him. Yeah. So So I think you stay away from Javonte Williams right now until we see a reason not to stay away from him.
I'm telling you, man, next year when we do our preseason rankings in the offseason, I'm telling you we're both going to have Javonte Williams in our top 10. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, lock
yeah.
that in right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's for sure happening.
As long as Melvin Gordon's gone.
And I think he will be. I think he probably
think
will
so
be.
Too.
Yeah, I think
he could be.
But let's go to another one here. Mark in Toronto. Good morning, guys. Half point PPR, Devontae Freeman or Jalen Waddle at the flex?
Oh, I think Jalen Waddle, just based on volume. Like, Devontae Freeman is actually, fantasy-wise, I've played him for a couple weeks in a row now. He's actually been pretty good. When
yeah,
it comes to
been.
Running backs
yeah.
and fill-ins, right? Like, he's been pretty good. Jalen Waddle, though, he is the first, second, then it's Gesicki, and then the fourth look again is Waddle in Miami. Like, it's all, you know, I think you go based on volume, opportunity, it's Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, I think so, too. And then, I do really like Jalen Waddle. Although, like you said, I don't think Devontae Freeman is necessarily a bad play. It's just maybe the better play might be Waddle. And then, similarly, another Ravens question from Mark. He wants to know, Mark Andrews or Gronk at tight end? It's kind of hard to bench Mark Andrews, isn't it? Like, even if just because like I would say, based on the way this year has gone, without looking at it, I would say after Travis Kelce, the number two tight end probably is Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews, he just keeps getting volume,
yeah.
Right? It's not, you can add as many wide receivers as you want in Baltimore. It's Mark Andrews, the double digit fantasy, the double digit targets to him, which he had not had in his career with Lamar Jackson, have now started to come much more often. Great option either way, but I think you go Mark Andrews today, Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I think so too. That's going to be, I was going to say that's going to be a fun game. I'm not sure if it will be, but it'll
not for
be
me.
Not for you.
Not for me.
Hey, just Andy, if the Ravens win this game or if they're up big at any point, just know you're probably going to get a couple texts from me. Just,
I fully expect this one not to go well. I fully expect it not to go well for me today, but yeah, I think you go Mark Andrews there.
Do you want to do a couple more here?
Let's keep rolling through them, man. Let's go. Yeah.
All right, let's do it. So you see here, Nick in Toronto. So this is one of those DJ Moore ones I was telling you. Nick, I always appreciate your text. He says, hi, Andy and show. Should I go with DJ Moore or Marquise Brown for my standard league?
Ooh. Yee, I don't like, for standard, I don't like either. I don't like either. Boy, the DJ Moore. Like we said, it's Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is the first is the target nearly all the time. It's the first look for Lamar Jackson. Otherwise, you're spreading the ball out. Marquise Brown could always go off, but it doesn't seem, the consistency I don't like. I think DJ Moore, with the rise of Cam Newton, we've had really the target share has been there consistently, but the quarterback play got the touchdown last week. I'm hoping he builds off of that. I'm not confident he'll build on that, but I like that as the safer floor maybe show than Marquise Brown.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what? I might risk it and go with Marquise Brown just because we know that Lamar Jackson loves to throw the ball. Like, the only other guy he likes to throw the ball to, basically, is Brown. And Rashad Bateman, I think, I mean, he's still a rookie, so I think there's some room for growth there. But when he was thrust into the spotlight, it wasn't that great, right? So It would help if it was Marquise Brown. I'm going to go with Brown by a hair. Just because okay. I'm not convinced with Cam Newton throwing the ball. I just want to see. You know how I am. I'm a little more conservative with that stuff. I want to see it before we go. We'll do one more, and then we'll answer the rest of these off the air. So don't worry. If we don't answer your question on the air, we will answer it before kickoff at 590. Scott from the Hammer needs a flex, full PPR, Jalen Waddle, Ramondre Stevenson, or A.J. Dillon.
Oh, you go Jalen Waddle. Absolutely. Like, Stevenson, I really like, but Damian Harris is also
He's
healthy.
Back.
So
yeah.
Now we're back in New England show where, like, I think Damian Harris should still get the first touches. It's too much of a committee right now to make Stevenson a standalone guy. I want him on my team in case Harris goes down again, because we saw what he can do as a standalone, but he's just not going to be that. Again, Jalen Waddle, I think, is a really, really good play today.
I think so, too. Yeah, I don't think... If Scott decides to play AJ Dillon, I'll say this. If you just have to track Aaron Jones' status, right?
Game time decision.
The problem, of course, is that I'm 98% sure that this Dolphins game versus the Panthers is a 1 o'clock game. So it's very, very possible that you know, you want to play Dillon, and then you wait, and then Aaron Jones does play, you'll be stuck playing Dillon, and then he might get less touches. But at the same time, even when Aaron Jones has played, Dylan has been getting like siphoning touches all season long, basically, as I'm sure you know, Andy, as an Aaron Jones owner, right? But I want to say, you know what? Even with Aaron Jones potentially playing today, you know what? I think I might go AJ Dylan over Waddle, just because I think the Packers have their bye next week, and so you know, there's a real chance that they might just be cautious with their star running back who they just gave that massive deal to, and just like say, you know what, take it easy, sit on the bench, or even if he does play, like you were saying with Cordell Patterson, he might just not play a lot, right? So
right.
That's the only that's what it's going to push it over the top for me for AJ Dillon. Once Aaron Jones comes back for in bulk, let's say after the bye week next week for the Packers, I think might have a different conversation there.
Well, I say Waddle. Show says Dillon. Did you have one more, or was that the last one for now?
Yeah, let's wrap up there. We'll answer the rest of these questions. Like I said, off the air, we will answer them via the text line. So expect a text back from us. You can also get us on Twitter at AndyMC81 for Andy, at SNS Ali with two L's for me, at The Fantasy Show, or of course at Fan590. We will get to all of your texts before the first kickoffs in what, about 4 hours or so?
About that. And Show, let's tell people how they can enter to win some Domino's pizza, because when the Browns win, folks, so do you. Beating those rascals, those Detroit Lions last week. You got a stat of the day you want to throw out there for people to see if they can find and win some Domino's?
Yeah, let's do it. So like you said, whenever the Browns win, people can win some Domino's pizza. And all you have to do to win this week's pizza prize is text us at 590-590 the answer to this question, okay? So in the week 11 win, because the Lions obviously played on Thanksgiving in America, but in week 11, the Browns beat the Lions. In that win, who caught the only receiving touchdown for the Lions? Receiving touchdown. There was only one. Who caught that receiving touchdowns for the Browns versus the Lions? Text us that player's name at 590-590, and you will be entered into a draw to win some Domino's pizza.
All right, who caught the only touchdown, receiving touchdown for the Browns in their epic 13-10 win over the Detroit Lions, making them 6-5? All right, let's get back to our fantasy football start sits for every Week 12 game. Let's get to it.
Titans at Patriots.
This one, Show, we talked about it off the top. I was looking forward to this one as a litmus test, really to see where are the Patriots. I thought this was going to be one where it would be Now we're you got the Titans, the Bills. We're going to see how this AFC situation shakes out, not just in the East, but maybe overall positioning. Titans are just blasted with injuries. I think the Patriots win this one going away.
Yeah, I think it'll be like you said, I think it'll be a pretty good beatdown for the Patriots over the Texans, or pardon me, the Titans. I think Mac Jones is just 2-4 at home as a starter this year, right? So I guess that's one thing the Titans have going in their favor. But at the same time, yeah, with all the guys that are out, I think you probably expect a grinded out sort of win for the Patriots today, right? It does probably mean for the Titans side of things, Andy, that you probably don't want to start anyone. Honestly, like you may not even want to start Ryan Tannehill. Like Like I think all things considered, who would you even dare to start from the Titans this week?
Honestly, the only guy would be in a flex, Dontrell Hilliard, because in PPR only, because of the volume he got last week, and it seems like with all the receivers gone, your top three wideouts are gone. The tight ends are nowhere to be seen. And it's a committee if they do play. Dontrell Hilliard on those short out passes might be the best option. So I would say, Hilliard in the flex, I don't want it to really be that way, but I would take him over Foreman. You're right. I think how you worded it, a grinded out type of game. I don't want to play Mac Jones starting there, because even when they win, he doesn't hit 20 fantasy points. The running back situation, Harris or Stevenson, I'm going to play Harris, but it's going to be shared. And then maybe Hunter Henry, he's questionable, but is expected to play. So I just don't think this is a very good fantasy football game overall for choices.
Yeah. The Titans also defend the tight end position pretty well. They only allow 33 receiving yards per game to that position. So I'm, I think you can probably still start Hunter Renfrow just because he is Mac Jones's like favorite target, especially in the red zone. Like he's like the guy he looks to on the first down, second down, and third down. And if they're not, if he's not doing that, they're handing the ball off, right? So I think that's probably where you go. But yeah, Nelson Agholor probably invisible at this point. So is Jonnu Smith. Honestly, it's true. Like I think every possible player from this game is a flex play, right? At best, like
at best,
yeah. Like you're right. like you said, Hilliard, Harris, Stevenson, Myers, Bourne, really, if you had to, and Hunter Henry, I guess you could put in the tight end once, like as a tight end spot play, right? But even then, I don't think you're expecting too much. Yeah, I would just, if you can, I would avoid this game if possible.
Yeah, and he needs a touchdown. If he doesn't get you a touchdown, it's not going to be.
Yeah.
This has like 13-10 feel to it, doesn't it? Like a lot of field goals type of game.
Oh yeah, Nick Folk and the Patriots defense. Start them. There you go.
Actually, those are the plays.
Yes, those
two are the plays. You're right. Patriots defense big time this week. All right, let's go on to the next. Which is Steelers
at Bengals.
There you go.
I did it in unison with them.
Yeah,
Steelers at Bengals. The Bengals are a team that air out the football, but it is sort of surprising to me, show that as much as they throw and they want to throw all the time, how relevant Joe Mixon has been in fantasy.
Yeah.
Like amazing, 25th overall player in all of fantasy football. And the last 3 weeks, he has gotten 25 or more fantasy points and touchdowns in every week since week 7.
He is I don't want to necessarily say throwback, but he definitely sees almost no involvement in the passing game. Like he sometimes does, sometimes, but last week he had 30 rushes and no targets in the passing game, which is like, that's a true, like kind of old school number for a running back, like especially in today's NFL. Maybe that's why it's more surprising, right? Yeah, 30 rushes, 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. So yeah, I think that's great usage. You can be encouraged by that by all means. He's an RB1, and even against the Steelers defense, I admit I haven't looked at the Steelers injury report, but you'll have to monitor this going forward. I think you're going to start Joe Mixon anyways. I don't think it really changes your opinion, no matter who's playing. But I mean, I think TJ, like for example, the Steelers got shredded by Justin Herbert and the Chargers last week, and that was because no TJ Watt, no Minkah Fitzpatrick. There was someone else who was out as well.
They're both back. I'm
blanking out. Okay, they are playing. So maybe expect like slightly lower totals for a Steelers defense that has been pretty good whenever they're healthy all season. But still, you're not like that's not going to stop you from starting Ja'Marr Chase. It's not going to stop you from starting Joe Mixon. It's probably not going to stop you from starting Joe Burrow. And I guess even T. Higgins might be a potential flex play against the Steelers defense.
Could be. Joe Hayden as well is out. They're starting cornerback. So that's one key player down. But the big guys on the pass rush, Watt and Fitzpatrick in the secondary, are in. That could show. You know what? I'm thinking, too, not that you're going to avoid Joe Mixon, but because that Steelers pass rush is nasty, it might force them to do either shorter passing plays or hand off the ball more so that Joe Burrow doesn't get smoked by T.J. Watt, right? You want to get the ball out of his hands pretty quick. So it might limit some of those deeper plays.
Yeah, you know what? It very well might. It definitely might. I still think again. You can still start Ja'Marr Chase. They might just see a lot more passes, like at or around the line of scrimmage. And similarly, I don't know. Like again, Tyler Boyd popped a little bit recently, but by and large, since Higgins' return, Boyd has been pretty much non-existent, right? So Boyd and C.J. Uzoma, kind of like we talked about, don't chase the points with Uzoma. That's kind of like it's not that he's bad or anything. It's just that it's so volatile with his involvement in the passing game that I don't know if you want to be betting on that like on a week-to-week basis.
A lot of mouths to feed too, and when you look at the Steelers, Deontay Johnson's the most consistent guy week in, week out. Put him in; he's a WR2 for sure. He is as steady as they come with Big Ben Roethlisberger's noodle arm. Can't throw it too far anymore. Chase Claypool, on the other hand, like he's flashed at times, not his fault. It's just his quarterback he's old. He's broken. He's not getting the ball deep anymore. Had 93 yards last week, but before then hadn't reached double digit fantasy points for three out of the last 4 weeks prior to that. Too inconsistent. I think it's Deontay Johnson, and with Eric Ebron out, Pat Freiermuth has been, when Ben Roethlisberger has been in there, really good and a true go-to. So Johnson and Freiermuth are definitely the go-tos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Freiermuth definitely above Claypool at this point. Like, I think Big Ben loves throwing to Freiermuth at this point, so I like him as a TE1 this week. And of course, I mean, yeah, like, don't forget Najee Harris, but of course, you don't need us to tell you to start Najee Harris because no one is keeping him on their bench. He has been phenomenal this year. He, like, do you think Najee Harris, real quick, will be a top five pick next year? I think maybe.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Well, think about this. Saquon Barkley's not going to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey will, but certainly not the consensus number one overall pick anymore.
Sure.
Derrick Henry's surgery, he'll be up there, but, you know, depending how that recovers. I think you go with reliability. Jonathan Taylor, Najee Harris are going to be two of the top picks. DeAndre Swift probably up there too.
Probably Austin Eckler as well. Yeah, that's probably like, those are probably like the top four of the top six picks, I would imagine, unless you really want like a wide receiver or something like that. It's true. It's going to be a very different looking top five next year, as opposed to this year when it was like, I mean, it was different-ish, but it was still relatively similar. Like Alvin Kamara is going to take a huge slide. Yeah, like you said, Barkley, Zeke probably going to be taken towards the end of the first round, maybe even beginning of the second round, depending on your league, right? It'll be fascinating. I'm excited to see what it all looks like next year when it comes to the draft.
Yeah, me too. Still a long way to go. We're going to take the break. We come back, we'll finish off the rest of our fantasy football start sits for the remaining games and get into the danger zone. Give you our dangerous picks for week 12 when the fantasy show continues, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We're back to The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network, week 12 in the National Football League. Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Give us a follow on Twitter so we can get your fantasy football questions into us. We'll answer them there at AndyMC81, at SNSLE. And at the Fantasy Show, you can text in, too, to the People's Text Line, 590-590. Danger Zone picks coming up, and we will roll through the remaining fantasy football start sits for the Week 12 slate. But, Joe, as you know, last day today, for 50% off, we get Domino's Pizza. Half off.
And don't forget, this is the week to get a Domino's Pizza prize because the Browns won last week, right? So text us your answer to the question, who caught the only receiving touchdown. I'm seeing some answers on the text line that are incorrect. Okay. Who caught the only receiving touchdown for the Browns versus the Lions in last week's, I forget what the score was. I think it was 13-10 win over the Lions in week 11. Boy, what an exciting game. It'll go down in the annals of history as one of the most exciting games.
Boy, it was terrible. Hopefully this next game on the slate is much more exciting. Let's get back to the games.
Buccaneers at Colts.
What is Jonathan Taylor going to do for an encore? what a monster. He had the fantasy production of three men, show.
He
three.
Did. Yeah.
55 fantasy points, depending on your league. Gah, ridiculous. Now, Tampa Bay's run defense, we know, well, I should say it's much better, but, well, Buffalo's was the top one, so it's not much better, actually. So you can't knock off Jonathan Taylor at all. I'm sure there will be a concerted effort to take him away. So you're playing Jonathan Taylor. I don't know if I'd be expecting a 5-touchdown day, but still, he's the, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the best running back here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a real chance. I don't think he's going to win MVP by any means, but I think there's a real chance. I don't know where you can get these odds, but that he maybe wins like offensive player of the year. You know what I mean? You know, they do that sometimes. Like they'll get, like, most of the time the same guy wins both, but I wouldn't be surprised if in a year like this, he wins offensive player and someone else wins MVP. But yeah, he's been absolutely phenomenal. The RB1 right now, especially with Derrick Henry done for the year. So Jonathan Taylor, you start him, you start. I think even though Jonathan Taylor's surge has come with a downtick in the passing game for the Indianapolis Colts, right? Because it just essentially means they're just handing the ball off to him on every down. It just means that Carson Wentz and Michael Pittman Jr., the only two other, I think, really startable guys, are, you know what, they just don't carry as much value as they did. But at the same time, the Bucs pass defense, not great, right? So maybe you might see Carson Wentz throw it a little more. Maybe you see Pittman get up there a little more. I think, again, Wentz, Taylor, and Pittman are probably the only guys I would consider starting from the Colts in this game.
Yeah, for this game, in general, I would go with Wentz. In this game, I would fade on him. I still think, Pittman, more back in WR2 with Taylor's involvement. They're sort of going the route of the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry, right? It's like, wow, let's just keep giving it to this guy. And why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I'm not arguing with that whatsoever. It's just, I think if you have Pittman, you can't bench him. You know what I mean?
Like, no, you gotta play him.
Yeah, because it would feel dumb if you started him and then he went off and you're like, well, who did I bench Pittman for? And Westbrook Ekine or something like that?
No.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to be caught in that situation. So that's where I am at on the Colts. On the Bucks, probably the same kind of situation, right? Like, you're starting Evans, you're starting Godwin, you're starting Gronk, no AB, he's out for this game. Fournette, again, as usual, probably an RB2 with the upside for an RB1 finish just because of how Brady has been throwing the ball. And then, of course, Brady himself, right? I mean, you're obviously going to start him week in and week out. So, like, it's just there are not a lot of guys outside of the regular names on this Bucks offense that you, like, will be starting, I would imagine.
No, and interestingly enough, Tom Brady throwing interceptions in his last three games, and in two of those, they were multiple interceptions. So it's a bit odd. Again, yeah, you're going to be playing Tom Brady, but it is interesting to track show. Like, okay, does that trend start to go away? Like, why the turnovers? That's something we want to keep an eye on. But he throws the ball a ton. Fournette, like you said, and yeah, usual suspects there. Gronkowski, we got a couple Gronk questions earlier. He's in the game. The back designation injury has been removed, so he's good to go. And if Gronk is good to go, especially this time of year, him and Brady always link up. So with no Antonio Brown, that's a great combo. Probably a nice DraftKings stack as well. An expensive one, but a good one.
Yeah, eight targets, six catches, 71 yards. And that's just like, he is still so dominant, and I love watching Gronk play. And again, the Colts are not particularly good against the tight end, so I would feel good about starting Gronk today.
All right, let's go to the next game.
Chargers at Broncos.
Now for the Broncos, Bradley Chubb is apparently back in, so that helps a bit with their pass rush that got downgraded, of course, when Von Miller was dealt. So when you look at the rest of the Broncos, we had a Javonte Williams question earlier. Like, sure, we all want Javonte Williams to be the guy. We all want it to be, but he's not. It's not there. Now, here is what could happen. I was pointing the whole year to this point where you look at the bye week, week 11. Is this the time into the bye where they start that transition to Javonte Williams, looking to him as the future and limiting Melvin Gordon? That is pure speculation. We don't know. It would make sense for me to see that, but we just don't know. What does make a lot of sense, though, is to play Gordon because the Chargers have given up the sixth most fantasy points to running backs. So they just get gashed against the run.
Yeah, I think, you know what, if nothing changes, you can probably plug either of these guys in there as a flex play and get, you know, you'll probably get like an eight to 9 point day if that's the case, and you hope for a touchdown to buoy it a little more. But by and large, yeah, I don't hate them as flex plays today, but like you said, there's a real chance that after the bye they can switch things up. For me it would make sense for them to just ride Melvin Gordon as much as humanly possible, and then just let him go in the offseason and make the official full switch to Javonte Williams in the offseason. I just feel like that's probably what's going to happen. But hey, if it ends up being different, even starting today, I wouldn't be all that surprised. But yeah, I think flex plays for Gordon and Williams. We talked about Jerry Jeudy a little bit before. I guess he's a WR2 for me, right? I mean, it's just, I want, like you said, you want him to be the guy, right? You want him to be that dude, but he just hasn't been, again, through no real fault of his own. It's just the Broncos offense, much like the Carolina offense was last year with Teddy Bridgewater, has just been stuck a little bit.
Yeah, it gets, that's a good word. It gets stuck. Like, it's in the mud. Like, it can pop once in a while, but it gets stuck. So you look at, since coming back from injury the last 2 weeks, 8 targets, 9 targets. So we like the volume, but the yardage, the touchdowns, they're not there. He doesn't have a receiving touchdown this year. So out of the group, like, I want Jeudy. I'd probably put him more in a WR3 or flex spot myself, just based on the opponent, how much better the Chargers have been against the pass than the run. But yeah, that's not an exciting matchup when it comes to the Broncos outside of the running back. And when you go to the Chargers, we know Justin Herbert is the guy that you're going to want to light up. The Denver defense, fourth fewest fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, but I don't know. That doesn't seem to have a whole lot of teeth in it to me, Show. With the defense, it's fine. They're going to be tough, but they're very beatable. Like, I saw that team up close. You can sort of like the Texans in that they're professionals. They'll work hard. They'll make you earn it, but you can get yours against them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Justin Herbert, he also was his value last week, and he runs like a decent amount, but last week he had 98 rushing yards last week, which is wild. I mean, he had one massive run, and then remember he got like pulled down, and there was some like some they were going to clear the benches for a little bit because he got pulled down awkwardly, and then the defensive lineman kind of like lay on him or something like that. I think it was Casey Hayward, but it was wild. It was a wild game, and Justin Herbert has been phenomenal. Yeah, Austin Eckler, you're starting. Keenan Allen, you're starting. Mike Williams, right? I mean, Mike Williams, I'm not sure what to make of him. I guess at this point, he's a WR, maybe a WR3 even for me. And then I'm avoiding Jared Cook and Donald Parham Jr. until something like changes there. I like them both, but still, I like Jared Cook, but the presence of Parham means you can't really play either of them, unfortunately.
And Cook is exactly what I thought he'd be. He'd be a touchdown-dependent guy. He'll catch a few balls. If he gets in the end zone, good. He'll get you like 11 points. If he doesn't, it's not going to be a good day. So you kind of know what you're going to get. Mike Williams, very interesting, because the first 5 weeks of the season, dude was on fire.
Yeah.
Like, unstoppable. He had, let's see, 4, 5, 6 touchdowns in the first 5 weeks, only one since then. But the volume, though, that's where it's interesting. The volume has stayed very similar since that week 6 through the bye. So 5, 5, 6, 6 is the targets. The difference is last week, when he reached into the 20 fantasy points in PPR, was 97 yards, got the touchdown, and he caught 5 of those 6 receptions. Previously, it was like a couple, wasn't getting the good targets, you know what I mean? Like, or the quality of pass and drops a little bit. So I think he's there. I just don't really like the Denver matchup. Like, I would much rather maybe against Cincinnati the next week to put him out there. I would say more Keenan Allen would be my play. Maybe it's a case show where you can't not play Mike Williams based on your other options, but I wouldn't be expecting too much today.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hold my breath. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. All right, on to the next one.
Rams at Packers.
This is going to be very telling, show. Very telling, because we know how absolutely dominant that Rams offense was for the first chunk of the season, right? It was unstoppable up until week 8. Then they played the Titans. All of a sudden, well, not so good. Lost 28-16. The following week against San Francisco, lost 31-10. That potent offense has now just put 16 and 10 points on the board. So you had the bye. You're recalibrating. You're in Green Bay. The bad weather, usually for LA teams, not going to affect Matt Stafford. He played in Detroit all those years. This is going to be telling where the Rams are at. Did you fix things and get whatever needed to be sorted in the bye? Or are you on a downward spiral? It's going to be a very interesting game.
Well, I'll say this about Stafford. He also played indoors for his entire career at Detroit.
Right, but he still had to play in Green Bay, in Chicago every year, right?
That's fair. All right, fair enough.
But you know, you're right. But he still had to be in a cold climate and play those games. He's been in Lambeau. He's not going to be like, oh, it's Lambeau, I'm intimidated. He's done it.
I do like Stafford this week. I mean, like, and I know the Rams have gotten like bullied a little bit by some of these like larger defensive players, and you know, they've kind of gotten pushed around a little bit by what some of our colleagues have called, you know, like big boy defenses, let's say, right? And it's sure the Packers actually have a pretty good defense, and they've been playing much better as of late, but I think you're still starting Stafford, you're still starting Henderson, you're still starting Cooper Kupp. I think you can probably get away with starting Tyler Higbee if you're one of those guys that doesn't have like a true tight end one, like you don't have a Goddard or Andrews or certainly a Travis Kelce. I think you can start Higbee or a Gronk, right? Like if you're outside of that conversation, you can go with Higbee. But outside of that, I think, yeah, you're not starting Van Jefferson until we see it pop, I think, a little bit more, in my opinion, right? Like, I think, again, you can still probably put him as a flex, but I think you want to wait until that goes a little bit better. And that's kind of it for the Rams. And on the Packers side,
Cooper
Kupp, he's been phenomenal, right? And then on the Packers side of things, we talked a little bit about AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. You just have to track that until game time. And Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't think anyone is really going to get too excited after like a one catch 75 yard blow up for Marcus Valdes-Scantling, right? I think like that's just you can't bet on that. Let's put it that way.
No. That's one of those one-off ones, and you kind of know what you're getting there. I just can't wait to see what the Rams did in that off week to see, because that has big fantasy implications going forward.
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
Those weapons there.
Yeah, yeah.
Next game. Let's roll.
Vikings at 49ers.
And we chatted about this off the top. Elijah Mitchell expected to play, rib injury and finger injury. The pin is still in his finger. Eesh. That could be more touches for Jeff Wilson potentially. There's a lot going on there. Kittle, you're playing. Debo Samuel, I like. We always get Brandon Ayuk question show, and he has started to come a bit around as a bigger part of the offense.
Yeah,
but with
fair.
Kittle in there, yeah. With Kittle in there, I kind of just I don't really want to play Ayuk if I don't have to.
Yeah, Kittle has caught a touchdown in three straight games, right? So I think you want to start Kittle. And yeah, I'm passing on Brandon Ayuk this week. I've been passing on him most weeks, but still, yeah, I think just with the resurgence, let's say, of George Kittle, yeah, I think I'm going to pass on Ayuk. I'm not if you can avoid Mitchell, I would just, but I think maybe that all that changes is that maybe you don't see him in pass protection all that much, or you don't see him in the pass game involvement, right, as much as you otherwise would. I think maybe like in terms of just actual handoffs, it might be fine, but you might see, you know, Jeff Wilson, or like you said, like, I mean, they've even gotten Debo Samuel running the ball sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So you might just see more of that, honestly.
Yeah, no, you absolutely could. For the Vikings, I feel it's sort of like the usual suspects,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, you got Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, you know, Anthony. Like, it's not like, even if the consistency hasn't been there, what you like, you're not going to play those guys.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only questions really for the Vikings are, do you play Kirk Cousins and do you play Tyler Conklin? And, you know, I will say Kirk Cousins on the road has been phenomenal on the road. Here's his stats on the road, Andy. 1,449 yards, 12 touchdowns, and no interceptions. And he's also completed 68% of his passes on the road. So again, I don't know why that is. I don't know if he just turns it on for whatever reason. You like that, right? From Kirk Cousins screaming it to people in the stands. But I do think that you can get away with starting Kirk Cousins, but you know how sometimes we talk about like the head to head matchup. I actually think I like Jimmy G a little bit more than Kirk Cousins in this game. He's been pretty good as of late.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we got two more to roll through. Let's go.
Browns at Ravens.
Sunday night football. Okay. Come on, Cleveland. Let's go. I don't think it's going to be a good one. You're not playing. Baker, show legit. He had so many injuries on the injury report. They just listed it as injuries. I'm not kidding. They just listed it as injuries.
That's great. That's fantastic.
That's how many injuries he has. It's just like all of them, all of the injuries. Nick Chubb, 100% you're playing. Kareem Hunt back, absolutely in a flex spot in PPR. I think he's going to be a stud and gone to a lot. Don't touch the wide receivers. And for the Ravens at running back, Devontae Freeman, I like Lamar Jackson playing, and Mark Andrews are kind of my go-tos.
Yeah, if Hollywood Brown plays, I think you can play him. But you know, you just have them. Has there been an update on that since we started the show, or is it still a game time thing?
For what, Brown?
For Marquise Brown, yeah.
For Marquise Brown, looks like he's still going to be a more closer to game time.
Okay, all right.
So
we'll have to monitor that one. Then I think if you can afford to wait until Sunday night and then have him not play, I think you can get away with that. But still, if you don't want to be very risky, then you might want to play someone else.
All right. And the Monday Nighter.
Seahawks at football team.
I still like that football team. Golly. Oh, boy. Seahawks offense seems broken. Seems Pete Carroll is out of touch. You're going to need some rejigging in Seattle. I want to play Taylor Heineke over Russell Wilson this week.
Ooh.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that, Joe. I don't want to say it, but I feel it. I can't trust Russell Wilson right now. I think you're going to be able to long-term because he's Russell Wilson, but in this head-to-head matchup, I'd kind of rather just Heineke is a bit of a wild card. He can chuck it to Antonio Gibson. Terry McLaurin's back and healthy. You can throw it to him. I think those are the two plays for Washington. And then maybe if you got to, Heineke. But that's kind of where we're at. That Seattle offense is completely busted, and I don't want anything to do with those running backs in with the Seahawks. Nothing.
Yeah, I want no part of the running game. Like you said, for Washington, I think it's really just Gibson and McLaurin. For Seattle, yeah, boy, Russell Wilson has played like garbage since he came back from injury. He's been awful. And then, like you said, Collins, DJ Dallas, Rashad Penny, Travis Homer. No. I want none of those guys. None. Yeah. Absolutely. Sit all of them if you can. Avoid them if you can. You don't want to be waiting until Monday night to be starting, like, to be hoping that Alex Collins is going to have, like, a plus 6-point day for you, essentially, right? Again, look, you're going to probably have to start Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf because – of where you drafted them, but boy, right. I think you have to expect lower things from them. I mean, hey, if there was ever a get-right game, it's playing Washington, whose defense is terrible. But at the same time, like, based on how things have gone so far in the last couple of games, I mean, you can't bet on that. That's all I'm saying.
No, we just got to see it. All right, time to get dangerous, show.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger's my middle name.
Danger Zone!
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
And so did we, Baker Mayfield. Let's get to our Danger Zone picks. And I'm going to stick with my Browns here, show. Kareem Hunt returns from the IR off a calf injury. Top five running back overall in fantasy football for week 12. And the top running back fantasy producer in the game versus the Ratbirds Sunday night.
The Ratbirds. God, you homer. You homer. You're such a homer.
Good I hate Baltimore. Good I hate Baltimore and Pittsburgh so much.
If I had to punish you in some way, I would banish you to live in Pittsburgh or Baltimore. That's what I would do.
God.
Yeah, that's your punishment.
Please no.
All right, well, my Danger Zone pick this week will be Ty Johnson. I can't believe I'm going to pick a New York Jet. Woo! But I am going to say Ty Johnson gets 15 or more, a minimum of 15 points. Let's just put it that way for sake of ease. He gets a minimum of 15 points and scores a touchdown in PPR leagues.
One of my leagues, I'm going to play Ty Johnson, so I hope you're right.
There you go.
I really do. I really do. So Ty Johnson, Kareem Hunt are our Danger Zone picks. That will do it, folks. Listen, enjoy the games. Remember, 50% off Domino's Pizza for the rest of the day at Domino's.ca. So get on over there. For Santos, for show, I'm Andy. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.